How many are ready for next year? Getting ready for next year. This is the last Wednesday night of 2017. I can't believe it either. We're about to enter 2018. What about it? You know, there are all kinds of people. They're always wanting to know, what's the word for the new year? And there's always predictions. Some ministers always give a prediction. And that's one thing my dad never did. He never did do that because he just never did. And so I guess I followed suit. But there's one thing I can tell you about next year. You know, you can be asking all the questions. Well, I'm gonna tell you some things. If we don't learn from our experiences in this past year, we're doomed to repeat the same thing. Winston Churchill said, "Those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it." You know, we can improve on the next year by remembering the things that we did successfully and learning from them in the year before. We can reflect back on things that didn't work out too good and we can make some changes. We can release last year and go forward, ask for forgiveness if we need to. We also understand that if we keep doing the same thing this coming year that we did this last year, we'll end up with the same results. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. You know, so actually we can know in part what life holds for us next year. It's really whether we're willing to do something about it or not. If you're not willing to change anything, I can make a prediction. Your year will end up the same way as it is this year. Now, here's some things that I can tell you about next year. God will not change. Malachi 3:6, "For I'm the Lord, I do not change." Jesus Christ will not change. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever." Amen. See, I'm telling you some things that I know will be next year, in next year. God's word will be the same. Heaven and earth will pass away before any of his word changes. That's what Matthew 5:18 says. "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, the smallest letter, the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear until everything is accomplished." In other words, God, his word don't change. It don't change. God's word remains the same. Something else I can tell you that will be next year, God's love for us will still be the same. It never changes. Romans 5:5 in the NLT says, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Another thing I can tell you about next year is that God's Spirit will continue to live with us. John 14:16 in the Amplified says, "And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, counselor, helpers, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you forever." Now these things, they don't require any special spiritual insight. All they require is knowing what the Word of God says. Now we can know some things about next year by knowing what the Word of God says. You know, John 10:10 says that the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." See, right here, I can start to tell you some things about next year from the Word of God. Other translation says, the New Living says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The Voice translation says, the thief approaches with malicious intent, looking to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I am come to give life with joy and abundance. Now, this scripture tells me two things that's going to happen next year. The devil, Satan himself, the thief, is going to do everything he can to destroy you. Secondly, the last part of this verse tells us what God wants to do in our lives. So as we look at this, we look in the first part and it reveals Satan's plan for the new year. The Voice translation said he approaches, the thief approaches with a malicious intent, looking to steal, slaughter, and destroy. This verse tells us that the devil has no good plans for you next year. Anytime he shows up, he's coming to cause chaos, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that will be no exception in 2018. Or whatever year comes after that, if the Lord tarries, because that is what he does. Now, you know, you can't afford to play around with the devil. I mean, his things are overpriced. They'll cost you more than you want to pay. Now, some people think they can sort of play around with the devil and get away with it and run to God when there's danger. Sort of like the little boy that decided that he's going to tease the alligator in the pond, saying, well, as long as he's in the pond and I don't get in the water, I'm safe. What he didn't know, that alligator for a short period of time on land can move pretty fast. So he was teasing the alligator, and the alligator come out of the water and he didn't stop. And the boy took off running and he barely made the fence and got away from the alligator. I think that's the way some people do with the devil. They get over and they mess around, and then if he starts after them, they run to try to get back on the base. You know, you ever play a game, you know, and your kids, and they have the base, and you got, as long as you're on the base, you're all right, but you get off the base, you got to, how many know what I'm talking about? You know, some people are playing with the devil's things and don't realize how much havoc and trouble he can bring into their lives. You know, if you mess around with the devil, he'll take you farther than you want to go. He'll make you pay more than you want to pay, and he'll cause you to lose all you have. You know, many church people don't realize it, but they have authority over the enemy. You know, we need to realize that. We need to realize that the devil never changes. He's going to be the same next year as he was this year, and he will not let up until you take your authority and do something about him. Hello. You know, now let's look at the other. Let's look at this. We have advance warning of what the devil's going to do. This enables us to take action and control, right? You know, advance warning. We know a little bit about advance warnings in this part of the country. It's called tornado watch. That means that there's one possible. Tornado warning means there's one on the ground. All of those give you advance knowledge to be able to do something about it. Huh? So the God here is giving us advance warning. Now let's look at the second part of that, 10:10. And it reveals God in our lives. Amplified version, I've come that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. This verse lets us know that God is thinking about us and he wants us. Jesus said, I have come that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You know, it's one thing of having something full, but it's another thing to have it overflowing. Abundance. You see, we need to realize that we're in God's mind, and he's working for us at all times to bring forth his will for us here where we are now. Thank God one of these days we're going to go to heaven. But right now we're here. You know, some people have lived so far in the future that they know earthly good. I thank God for what's going to happen in the future. But right, I'm living here right now and I need God now. And we all know Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The NIV, New International Version, says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, the Message says it this way. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future. Give you the future, actually, you hope for. God is speaking here to a group of people called the Israelites who were in captivity. Although they had messed up and wasn't serving God like they should, God didn't give up on them. He's telling them, even though you messed up, I've still got a future plan for you. So forget that noise when people tell you, hey, man, you messed up so bad you don't have a future. I heard a song here a while back said, every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. I don't even know what the song was. I just remember those lines. He had plans for Israel, even though they had messed up. You know, God goes to great lengths for humanity. You know, God paid the highest price that can be paid. He gave his son to provide us a future. Come on now. Look what else he did. God used 40 writers to write 66 books over a period of 1,500 years without any contradictions among them, so we would know what's in store for us the next year. It's called the Bible. You see, sometimes people strain to hear some word from the Lord and forget the written word of God we already have. Oh, somebody asked me the other day, what is the word for 2018? I said, it's the same thing as it was last year. God is still who he is, and he's still going to do what he said he'd do in his word. You know, the scripture is God's personal letter to you. Oh, thank God for supernatural experiences where we might see angels, we might not, where we might have a vision. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. But I want to tell you what, we have the written word of God with us all the time. We don't have to have some kind of supernatural something tell us what next year is going to be. The word of God's already told us. Come on now. Don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. These things, seeing visions and having supernatural experiences, are real if they happen. But remember, they only happen as God chooses. But we always have the written word of God right here. You know, the written word of God is just as supernatural as having an experience. We just don't look at it that way. My dad said something over and over and over again, and many of you that are sitting here, students, past students, ministers, have heard him say it. Many people are missing the supernatural of God because they're looking for the spectacular. Anybody ever heard him say that? Many times he would say that over. He would say it to me. He would say, son, if people would just quit looking for something spectacular, they wouldn't miss the supernatural of the Word of God. All of you know that he was a stickler for the Word. You ask him, well, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? He'd always say, what does the Bible say? What does the Word say? And there sits Tony Cook. Tony sat and talked with him many, many, many times and ask him questions. And in fact, that's where we got some of our books from, for Tony asking him questions, and he answered the questions and we wrote the book. But he believed in the supernatural and he had supernatural experiences, but he said, I don't base any part of my life on any of the supernatural experiences I've had. He told me one day, he said, I base my life on the Word of God. He thanked God for all those supernatural experiences, but he did not base his life on a vision. He did not base his life on some supernatural experience. He based it on the Word. And we can't base our life on what this preacher says or that preacher says. Thank God for it. Thank God if they got a word. Praise the Lord. But we've got to base our life for the new year right here on God's holy Word. Anybody with me? Now, the question comes, what are we going to do about John 10:10? See, we have a choice. We can go one way or the other way. With God and God's plan, our own plans with the enemy. Deuteronomy 30:19. He said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Contemporary English version of this says, right now, I call the sky and the earth to be witnesses that I am offering you this choice. Will you choose the Lord to make you prosperous and give you a long life? Or will he put you under a curse and kill you? And then he says, choose life. Here, God, here's the options. You ever been called in an office and say, okay, here you got two options. Anybody ever been there? We got three people that's been there besides me. I got some more people raising their hand now. Here, here, they got the option of death or life. That's what each one of us have. The options, option of blessing or curse. Now, he went a step further when he told, give them the options, and he said, here's death, and here's what happens with death. Here's life, and here's what happens with life. And then he went ahead. He told them, choose life. He told them what to choose. Come on. I know I got a lot of military people in here, especially Army. I don't know about the others, but in the Army, you don't volunteer for anything. How many Army guys in here? How many know what I'm talking about? So when I was in ASA, Army Security Agency, and then I got called in, Colonel Oka called me in, and he said, Hagen, they want you to take a special assignment. And he told me all about it. And he knew, I'm sitting there, you know, he's a colonel, I'm a specialist. Well, at that time, I was PFC. And he looked at me because I didn't say anything. I'm just sitting there. I don't know what I want to do here, you know. And he looked at me and he said, son. I mean, he got, you know, personal with me. And he said, son, you want to do this. I said, sir, is that what I really should do? He said, yeah, you want to do this one. I said, okay. He gave me a choice, and then he told me what I wanted to do. Now, he didn't make me volunteer for that. I did not have to accept that. But I accepted it, and I'm glad I did now, but I accepted it because of what he said. See here, and here's what God said. He said, life or death, but choose life, blessing. See, you know, anybody ever watch that? I don't know what it was called. Anyway, they had three doors and the game show, and you had to choose which door. Let's make a deal. Yeah. Now, what if that moderator had told everybody what was behind each door and said, okay, make a choice. And there's a car over here and a donkey over here, and they choose that one. Door number three had a car. Door number one got a donkey. They said, I take door number one. Now we're laughing about that. But that's exactly what people are doing with the choices that God is giving. He's giving us the choice. There.
Come on now.
Anybody feeling that and getting a hold of that like I am? I mean, oh man. And yet we see people make the wrong choice. The choice is ours. If we'll listen to the word of God, we do not have to have a supernatural vision to know what to do. Thank God for the supernatural. Thank God for all of that. But let me tell you what, here, right here, God gave this word to us to live our lives by. What's going to happen in our lives is next year is what we make happen according to the word. You know. Now, there's some people, they don't make any choices. You know, if we listen to God, God's already told us in his word the choice that we need to make. But there's some people, they think if they don't make any choices, everything will be all right. And they just sort of drift along. And that opens the door for the enemy to destroy them. Making choices, making plans, and setting goals for the new year is right. But the problem is, many people are making their choices and their plans and then asking God to bless it. Wait a minute. That's sort of getting the cart in front of the horse, isn't it? Horse doesn't push a cart, he pulls it. God doesn't push your plan. See, let's find out what God's plan is for the next year. It's the, you know why? Because that's the plan he's blessed. You don't even have to bless it. Ask him to bless that plan because he's already, that's the plan he's blessed. Anybody get it? You know, we need to make choices in this coming year. We need to make the choice to stand on the promises of God for our lives and expect them to happen. Come on. We need to make the choice for God's plans to be executed in our lives as we follow him. We need to make a choice to live under the protection of the Almighty. If you're living under the protection of the Almighty, you're not running scared. That doesn't mean that you don't have enough sense to take precaution, natural precautions. But it also means that you don't just be afraid of everything. Hello. We need to make a choice to live in the provision that God has provided. Now, a lot of people are wanting to live in the provision that God has provided. Now, you're going to get upset at me. But they're not giving their tithe. They're not giving offerings. And yet, oh, God bless me, provide. How can God provide if you've made a choice not to do what he asked you to do? How can you expect God to protect you when you made a choice not to even do what's necessary in the natural? Come on now. You know, these are just a few things that I thought might be good to talk about as we go into the new year. You know, as you begin to look at these this year, you need to begin to do what the word said. Pray with the understanding, your own mind, as far as you can about your future, about this year. But then when you hit the point that you cannot no longer have words in English that you can articulate, then begin to pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit begin to pray. That's what the Bible says there, isn't it? How many ever read that? Yeah. Yeah. Let, you know, and then you need to read those scriptures over there in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, and in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul talks to read those scriptures. Let the eyes of the understanding. Put your name in there. My wife bought me a personalized little New Testament, and I got those scriptures. And it says, "May the eyes of Ken's understanding be enlightened." And it's got my name there. And I read those. I read them at least four times a week. I try to read them every day, but sometimes with different things are pressing in, I don't get to read those particular ones. I read some others. But I try to read those at least four times a week, those scriptures. In Ephesians 1 and in Ephesians 3. How many of you know the scriptures I'm talking about? Yeah, see, all your hands up. We need to continue to do that. Because the more we do that, the more understanding, the more enlightenment we will have to follow God in the new year. Well, did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that we've just talked to the people for a few moments about the new year that's coming. And Father, I thank you that as we enter this new year, I thank you that what you've said in your word will come to pass in our lives. We thank you for that. We thank you that you'd give the word, let as people read the word, may it enlighten to them what they need to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, it's a little hard to do what I was talking about. Or if you're here tonight and you know what it is to serve God, but you're not exactly where you're supposed to be, it'll be a little hard to do that. So if you'll come down here, the ladies here and the men over here, and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. And now you can get involved with the rest of us as we get involved with God in this new year. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front as we're dismissed. Connection team, were they first time guests? Please go get our first time guest connection team and take them to get that special gift that we prepared for them. If you happen to be looking for a church home, first time guests, what do we say, people? Welcome home. We invite you to come just be a part of our family. Call ourselves the Rhema family, serving God unlimited around here. Just having a great time serving God in the natural together and in the supernatural together. Praise the Lord. Remember all of the announcements. We'll see you Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. God bless you. May this next year be a great year. For you, if you're not here Sunday, I'll be here again Sunday preaching to you again. So I'll see you again. But if I don't see you, hey, Happy New Year. God bless. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. You need prayer for any reason. God bless you.